sure we all have known someone with a heart condition. And we know that a heart condition can be a very serious thing. And that is what we're going to actually see this morning as we head to chapter 4 in the book of Jonah. Jonah, too, has a heart condition going on. He just doesn't know it yet. You've probably heard of people that suddenly had a heart attack. And they were kind of just living their life like they normally were, and it just came on to them all of a sudden. Well, we know that there are symptoms that come along with heart attacks. There are things that go on in your body before a heart attack happens. And so that is what is going on in the life of Jonah, too. He has a heart condition. He just doesn't know it yet. But his condition is not one of a physical nature. It is one of a spiritual nature. And in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the last time that we were going through this chapter, we learned that there was something still missing in Jonah's heart. Even though in chapter 3 we see that he finally obeyed God. He finally did what the Lord told him to do when he went to Nineveh, but all was not right in Jonah's heart. All was not well. Something was still missing. Do you remember what that was? It was a heart of compassion, wasn't it? It was God's heart that he needed, and it was God's heart of compassion that was missing. And that is why he was angry when God spared Nineveh after Nineveh repented from their sin and turned to him. And when we come to chapter 4, verse 1, that's where we find Jonah. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. What? The repentance and the revival and the renewal of the Ninevites. It displeased him exceedingly, and he was very angry. He had a heart condition. He had a heart problem. So the Lord had some more things to deal with in Jonah's heart. He's already dealt with him about some things, about some matters, about obedience and certainly about humility. But there were still some other issues, which we all know we all have in our hearts. Not one of us is perfect. God still is working on us just as he's working in the life of Jonah. But in verse 4, the Lord begins with some words to his pouting and sulking prophet. He asks him this question. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? You know how God dealt with Jonah and his missing compassion, this missing component in his heart? He started out with a question. He wanted Jonah to think about his own condition, to think about it, and then respond appropriately. And I would imagine this question was posed to Jonah in a quiet, still, small voice. And so often, that's the way God works in us. That's the way God deals with the missing elements in our heart. Well, that's how God dealt with Jonah first, by tenderly asking him this question. And we wonder if Jonah responded. Well, make no mistake, Jonah does respond to the question that God gave him there in verse 4. And we see that response in verse 5. Let's read that together. It says, so Jonah went out of the city, after God asked him this question, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Now Jonah here does respond to God's question. He doesn't respond in words, but he does respond in actions. As we will see, his actions spoke much louder than his words ever would. In fact, his actions show to us the condition of his heart. That's what we're going to first see this morning. There in verse 5, in the response that Jonah has to God's first question to him, it reveals the condition of Jonah's heart. And it was still a serious situation. What was his heart like? His heart was still cold, and it was still hard toward the Ninevites. A cold and hard-hearted heart. And his actions tell us a lot about his heart. And that's what we're going to look at this morning there in verse 5. But do you realize that your actions also can tell you a lot about your heart too? Let's look at what Jonah's actions in this verse can tell us and what they can also teach us. First of all, we can learn from his actions that your absence can be very telling about your heart's condition. Just like it was for Jonah. In fact, in verse 5, we learn about Jonah's own absence from the city of Nineveh. Again, look at that verse with me just the first part. When it says, after God asked him this question, why are you angry? So, Jonah went out from the city. You see, after Jonah did what God had told him to do, for him that was it. His job was over. God had told him to go into Nineveh, and he did just that. He did exactly what God had told him to do, and then he left. But you know, God never told him to leave, did he? God never told him when to leave Nineveh. But to Jonah, his work in Nineveh was done. He had kept the letter of God's word, but lost the spirit. And I believe that Jonah's absence from Nineveh in this passage is very telling, because it reveals the condition of his heart. That it was still hard and it was still cold to the people of Nineveh. And do you realize that our absence also can be quite telling, depending on what we're absent from, or when we're absent, or even and especially why? What are we absent from in our service for the Lord? What are we absent from, even in our worship of the Lord? Do you realize that where you're absent from and when and especially why can be very telling of your own heart's condition? Jonah's absence from Nineveh was very telling, and so is ours. But we also see from the life of Jonah here in verse 5 that your activities can be very telling as well. Just like it was for Jonah. It can be very telling of the condition of your own heart. In verse 5, we also learn about his activity by the city. What did he do when he left the city of Nineveh? It goes on in verse 5, and it says that he sat on the east of the city. Now, the east of the city was the opposite direction of his own homeland. He goes to the east of the city, and there he made him a booth. Or a shelter of some kind. He probably took some of the branches and some of the leaves that might have been around, and he built himself a little shanty, a little booth. After doing what God had told him to do, after being practically dragged to Nineveh, and actually he used a fish, now we see Jonah finally really moving. He gets outside of Nineveh, and now he starts to do some work. Now he gets his hands dirty. Now he builds a temporary shelter so that he could see what would happen to Nineveh. Do you realize that even by his own actions, it reveals even further the condition of his heart? You see, now all of his activity, all of his energy, all of his effort was directed toward one thing. His own desire, not God's desire. It was after his own comfort so he could sit down and see the destruction of Nineveh, and not God's own comfort and desire. If Jonah's heart was for the Ninevites, instead of leaving Nineveh and spending time and energy building something outside of Nineveh, perhaps he could have stayed inside Nineveh and kept doing what God had called him to do in the first place. Perhaps he could have been interceding for the Ninevites, even as we see Abraham doing hundreds of years earlier. Do you remember Abraham as he heard the news that God was going to send judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah? And you remember his nephew Lot and his family there lived in Sodom. And it was a wicked place, a wicked city. Nineveh was also a wicked city, remember? But what kind of heart did Abraham have toward Sodom and Gomorrah? What kind of heart did Abraham toward Lot and his family? It was a heart of compassion, a desire for God's best for them. In fact, in Genesis 18, if you remember that story, he came to God and said, God, if there's 50 righteous people in that city, will you spare it? Or will you still destroy the entire city? If there's 50 righteous people, God said, okay, if there's 50 righteous people, I won't destroy it. But Abraham still had a desire for that city because he knew 50 righteous people would not be found. And he started going down the list from 45 to 40 to 30 to 20 to even 10. He had a compassion for Lot and his family. He had a compassion for the people. God had given him that heart. And yet we see in Jonah completely the opposite. He could have stayed. He should have stayed there in the city. Continue to preach. Continue to tell about the warning of God's judgment to come. And even spend time interceding for them as Abraham did. But he didn't. Instead, his activities there, building that booth, so that he could watch the judgment to come, was very telling about his heart. But do we realize that our activities are very telling as well? Where do you spend your time What do you do with your efforts and your energy? We will do the things that we want to do, won't we? We will always find out the time. If we want to do something, we'll niche out that time. If we really want to do it, maybe there's a show we want to watch or a book we want to read or a story we want to go to. And we will make all the effort and energy that we need to get through it. We'll give it everything we got. But when it comes to the things of God, like Jonah, we just do it half-heartedly. Oh, we're going to abide by the letter, but we don't necessarily have the Spirit. We even may have to be dragged into doing it. Sometimes our activities and our efforts and our energy are very telling of our own heart, just like it was for Jonah. Jonah's activities were telling. What do they reveal about our heart as well? We also see in verse 5 that Jonah's abiding, his waiting period, was also very telling there on the outskirts of Nineveh. And ours is too. Our abiding, our waiting. In verse 5, we see Jonah's waiting outside the city. And what does it say? There's a key word that is used two times in that verse. It says that he sat on the east of the city. And then later on in that verse, it says he sat under it, under the booth that he built, in the shadow of that booth. So after preaching to Nineveh, after seeing God work in the Ninevites, what did Jonah do? He didn't remain in Nineveh. He didn't go back to Joppa to tell the sailors what happened to him. He didn't go back to his people in Israel to tell them what God had done for them. No, he goes to the east of Nineveh, builds a booth, and then he sits under it. Was there nothing else for Jonah to do? Was there no other place for Jonah to go? Was there no other word for Jonah to share? And yet, here Jonah abides under the booth, in the shade of that booth, and waits and sits. And while he is sitting, he is idle. Now, he is idle in body, but he is not idle in mind. He's sitting there, and he is eager for something. He is eager for something that would satisfy his own desires. He is actually eager for the destruction of an entire city. And Jonah's abiding there, sitting under that booth, is very telling. That is not where God wanted Jonah to be. Because God called Jonah to the city on two different occasions. In Jonah chapter 1, he says, go to Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 3, he says, go to Nineveh. He never says, go out of Nineveh. Do you realize that where we abide and where we wait is also very telling? You see, in the Christian life, there are times to work and there are times for us to wait and rest before God. But when do we do that? So often we rest when we're not supposed to be resting. We're supposed to be working. And sometimes we're working when we're supposed to be resting. When are we waiting? Where do we wait? Where do we abide? And why? We need to make sure that we are where God has called us to be. Because when we aren't, things can happen. Sometimes when we abide where we should not be, sin lies at the door. Remember David? Story of 2 Samuel chapter 11. In verse 1 it says that there was a time when kings would go forth to battle. But where was David, the king of Israel, at that time? The Bible verse clearly says that David tarried, abided, waited still at Jerusalem. He was not where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be in the front lines. He was supposed to be there with the generals and guiding his people and fighting. And guess what happened? Temptation came his way and he fell and he sinned against God and he rebelled. And that's exactly what happens when we are outside and we are away from where God wants us to be. We must not abide where God has not called us. God didn't call Jonah to outside Nineveh. He called him to inside Nineveh to deal with the people and to proclaim his word to the people. We must not abide where God has not called us or where God does not want us to be. Jonah's waiting there on the outskirts of Nineveh. Jonah's abiding was very telling about his heart, and so was ours. When we wait when we should be working, or when we're working when we should be waiting on the Lord, it reveals something about our heart, something about our desire rather than following after His. Then we also see in verse 5 that our anticipation is also very telling. What do we anticipate? What is it that we're looking for or looking to in our lives? Well, in verse 5, we see Jonah's anticipation for the city. Jonah anticipated something unthinkable. The destruction of an entire city. That's what he wanted. It says that he was sitting on the outskirts of Nineveh. Why? Till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah was hoping that God would utterly wipe off the face of the earth that wicked city of Nineveh. He didn't want to see a single one of them survive. He wanted it completely obliterated and that no memory of that city would ever exist. He was hoping for something unimaginable to happen. And we would think that a prophet of God could not and should not think that way. But do you know that Jonah's anticipation for Nineveh is also very telling? It reveals the condition of his heart. It's still cold and it's still calloused. But what about our own anticipation? What about the things that we look for and the things that we wait for? We are so short-sighted in our lives, aren't we? Now, we may not be looking for something as morbid as God's judgment on an entire city like Jonah was. But so often our eyes don't look up. They look down at our own circumstance in our own lives. And it shows that there's something wrong with our heart. We don't consider the world with God's eyes and God's viewpoint. But so often we just want to live for these worldly pleasures. And we don't anticipate the great things that God can do and has in store. What we anticipate, like Jonah, does say a lot about our heart's condition. We often just live for worldly pleasures like prosperity or success or certain escapes or entertainment. When we just focus on that, it tells a lot about our own heart. What does this verse here in verse 5 tell you and reveal to you about your own heart? We can see Jonah there, but we can also see ourselves in Jonah. When he went out of the city, he sat on the east gate, and there he made a booth, he sat under it, sat in the shadow so that he might see what would become of that city. It tells us a lot about Jonah's heart, but it also can show us a lot about our own heart, about our walk with the Lord, about our worship of the Lord, about our service and our work for the Lord. Are we more focused on doing our own thing, our own will, or are we more focused on doing God's will and following His way? Well, Jonah needed God to deal with his heart condition. Just like you go to a doctor and you go through all these stress tests to find out what's going on in your heart, God is going to ramp up the pressure a little bit. He asked that tender question there in verse 4, but we're going to see what else He does here. If you belong to the Lord and you find that your heart is missing something too, He has yet another way to deal with us and to draw our heart closer to His own. And that's what we find there in verse 6. Verse 5 revealed the condition of Jonah's heart, but guess what verse 6 shows to us? It reveals to us the condition of God's heart. What did God do as a result of what Jonah did in verse 5? I don't know about you, but if I was in that position, I would have said, okay, that's it, you're gone. I don't need you, I don't want you, I don't want to see you, I don't want to hear from you anymore. I came to you with a still small voice, I asked you this question, and you're not responding to me. That's it, Jonah, that was your last chance, that's the last straw. Is that what God did? No. Look at verse 6. And the Lord God, Jehovah God, prepared a gourd, or a plant, and He made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. So in spite of Jonah's response to God and his question to Him, how did God respond? He was still good to Jonah. God was good to Jonah. God is good even when He is coming to chasten and correct. And He was good to Jonah, not just as His prophet, but even as His child. And God's goodness to Jonah is so clearly evident in this verse. How? First, in God's own providence and provision in Jonah's life. Basically, Jonah said, God, I don't want to see Your goodness displayed to Nineveh. But God said, I'm going to display My goodness to you, Jonah. He says in verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. That word prepare is an interesting word because it means that he selected and prepared a special plant to do a special service for him. In fact, that same word prepare is used back in chapter 1, verse 17, where God prepared something else for Jonah. What was that? A fish to swallow up Jonah. And I believe that this statement, that the Lord God prepared a gourd, or this particular plant, shows that God was still in control of Jonah's situation even more than he realized. You see, God knew what Jonah would do in response to that question. God knew where Jonah would go there on the east side of Nineveh. In fact, God knew why Jonah would go there. And so right where Jonah was going to place that booth, I believe that God had already prepared a special seed for a special plant that was supposed to do a special work. He didn't take God by surprise where Jonah was going to build that booth. Just like it didn't take God by surprise where Jonah was going to sink down into the sea. And guess what? As Jonah was sinking down into the sea, what was there already? A fish. The right place, the right time, and he swallowed up Jonah in order to deliver him from that watery grave. And now we find Jonah on the other side. He is there on the east side of Nineveh, and he's setting up a booth so he can watch God's judgment be rained down on Nineveh underneath the ground. God had already prepared and placed. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we certainly know why. A special seed of a special plant for a special purpose. He had prepared a gourd. There's no surprise to God. And so God's own providence is preparing this plant, which was most likely a special castor oil plant, which one commentator says, well, Jonah needed a good dose of castor oil at this time. But it could have been a castor oil plant. Why? Because they are hardy over there. And when they grow up, the leaves can be about a foot and a half long and about a foot wide and would cover someone and give enough shade for someone. But you know what God was doing in all of this? Even though Jonah rejected God's kindness to him before, God was proving to Jonah the kind of heart that he had. Now, Jonah already knew some things about God, didn't he? He was a very theological person. In fact, in verse 2 of chapter 4, we see what he knew about God. He even tells God this. For I know that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. But what we know is that Jonah didn't know these things about God personally. He knew him theologically, he knew him in his head, but they didn't sink down to his heart, and God was about to make himself very real to Jonah. And God's own providence in preparing this plant in the right place at the right time proved God's grace to Jonah. Jonah knew that God was a gracious God, but he hadn't yet fully understood the experience of it in his own life. So when God prepared that gourd, he was showing Jonah that he's gracious. But how would Jonah respond to God's grace in his life? Well, we'll see that here in a minute. But do you also realize that God is gracious to you through His providence in your life, through His everyday provision in your life, even in those small things? And as I mentioned in the Sunday school this morning, we realize even those small things from our perspective really aren't that small. Because the Bible says that God only does wondrous things. And even those things that seem menial and small in our life as a small provision really is a wonderful thing because it comes from our wonderful God. God is always good to His people. So how do we respond to His goodness and to His grace? Well, we also see God's goodness is seen in His power in Jonah's life. What else did God do there in verse 6? Not only did He choose that plant, but He also, in verse 6, made it to come up over Jonah. God caused that special plant to sprout from that seed, to grow, and then to mature in a miraculous and a powerful way. In fact, He did it all in one day. Now, if Jonah didn't think that God was in that, we don't know where his mind would have been. No plant grows that quickly in the natural order of things. It was sort of a Jack and the Beanstalk kind of way. But why did God show His power this way? He wasn't showing His power to judge Nineveh. He was showing His power to teach Jonah an important lesson about his own heart. And you know that God's own power in growing that plant in one day to provide shade to Jonah proved God's mercy to Jonah. You see, Jonah said he knew that God was merciful, but now God was proving His mercy to Jonah. So how is Jonah going to respond? You'd think that he would respond the way he should. But do you realize also that God is merciful to you? He is merciful in His power in our life. Think of all the powerful interventions that God does in your life that He doesn't get credit for. Think about maybe a provision that you've been praying for, and God gives you that provision. And you say, praise God, He's shown me His mercy, He's shown me His grace. Or do you just kind of go on your way and forget about it? Maybe God has intervened in your life with a special healing, or maybe a special answer to prayer. It was something that you know only God could do. Do you respond to His mercy and His grace to you the way He showed it to Jonah? God is always good to His people. And we need to let His heart of grace and mercy and goodness affect our heart as well. But there's another thing that God showed to Jonah, and that was His patience, also there in verse 6. What else did God do? It says in verse 6 that He made that plant, that gourd, so that it might be a shadow over his head. Now, wait a second. Didn't Jonah already make a little booth? Yes. In fact, you just saw that there in verse 5. He made a booth to provide shade from the sun and the heat that he was going to experience there in the Mideast. But we obviously see that it was not enough. It was not sufficient. Jonah was a prophet, remember? He was not a general contractor. He probably didn't make this booth strong enough. He probably didn't make the booth well enough to shade him and give him the coolness that he desired. And certainly dead branches and dead leaves and things like that really don't provide the coolness that he needed that a living plant could provide. But instead of telling Jonah like maybe we would have told him, Jonah, you made your bed and now you're going to sleep in it. We are so impatient with the faults of others, aren't we? But guess what God did? God knew what Jonah needed even more than he. God said, you provided and built a booth. Well, I'm going to provide and build you the shade of a plant. And God's own patience in providing shade was proof to Jonah that God was slow to anger. Slow to anger. But how would Jonah respond? Another way that God showed His goodness to Jonah was that in verse 6, He showed His pity to Jonah. Why would God do any of this for Jonah? After all, Jonah had already disobeyed Him once. Now he is disregarding His question. Here's why. Verse 6. To deliver him from his grief. After all that Jonah did, God still wanted to comfort Jonah in the heat of that day, in the dust of the earth, even from the situation that Jonah put himself in. And even after all that Jonah did against God, the Lord still felt for Jonah. It reminds me of Psalm 103:10 that says that God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. God's own pity for Jonah proved to Jonah that God is of great kindness, even to those who are unkind to him. But how would Jonah respond after seeing His goodness time and time again? But do you realize that God is kind to us as well? You know, one of the greatest ways that we see His pity and compassion for us is just in Him sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, into our lives. He knew better about our need than we do. You see, Jesus is much greater than that castor oil plant. Jesus is greater than the simple shade from the plant that it would provide Jonah, because Jesus can be our complete shelter. The Lord Jesus is greater than the soothing from any kind of medicine, because Jesus is our complete healer. And if we think about Jesus, when we think about God's compassion and pity on us, we will respond and ought to respond from our hearts to his. But how did Jonah respond? Well, in the last part of verse 6, we take a final look at the condition of Jonah's heart. What do we read? After all that God had done for Jonah, it says that Jonah was exceeding glad. And we're glad when we come to that point. But then we have to read on. What was Jonah glad for? It wasn't for the Lord. It wasn't because of his kindness to him, or his grace, or his mercy, or even his perseverance. It says that he was exceeding glad for what? The gourd. The plant. That's it. That's all that Jonah saw. Now, Jonah knew about God in theory. He knew the facts about God's grace and mercy and long-suffering and kindness, but he wouldn't recognize it, even though it was displayed to him so clearly. You see, Jonah's heart did not yet reflect God's heart. He did not yet see God's grace through His providence, or God's mercy through His power, or God's long-suffering through His patience, or God's kindness through His pity. Jonah was not yet moved by God. He had not been moved by God's question in verse 4. He was not even moved by God's provision with this plant. What was it going to take for God to move Jonah? And what will it take for God to move us? What will it take for God to get a hold of our hearts so that our hearts can be more like His heart in compassion for the needs of others? We're just very close to the end of this book. And God still has other tools in His toolbox that He can use to draw our heart back to Himself, just like He's about to do in Jonah. But for now, we need to let the condition of God's heart there in verse 6 impact and change the condition of our heart that we might see. What is your heart like today? Is your heart like Jonah's? Is it one that is so busy with your own affairs that you forget about God and His will and word for your life? Is it the heart that says, I'm not going to have compassion on anybody else but my own comforts and my own desires? Or are you going to see what God has done for you? He may have talked to you first with a still small voice. He now comes to you and shows you His pity and His kindness, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering. Let the condition of God's heart impact and change the condition of your heart. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You that You have shown to us a tale of two hearts in these two verses. We first see a tale of Jonah's heart there in verse 5, which all too often is a reflection of our own heart. Maybe not to the same extreme that we see him there on the side of Nineveh, but so often, Lord, our heart is the same way. And we can see the nature of our heart by our absences, by our activities, by what we anticipate in life itself. And so often, Lord, our hearts are preoccupied by the things of this world. And Lord, we know that Jonah's heart was preoccupied by seeing Your judgment come on an entire city, a vast population of people who needed You. Oh Lord, I pray that You will forgive us for not having a compassionate heart like You have. Forgive us, Lord, for having a heart that is preoccupied with the pleasures and the things of this world. Forgive us, Father, for having a heart condition. But Lord, we're thankful that we also see the tale of Your heart there in verse 6. A heart that is full of grace and full of mercy, that is slow to anger, and is of great kindness. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at Your heart, that it will be something that impacts our heart. That it is something that will transform and change our heart and our life and our mind. Lord, we're thankful that even through the example of Jonah in this case, we can learn from what he did not do. Lord, I pray that today when we go home, that we will reflect on Your heart. Because the more we gaze at You and we gaze at Your heart, our hearts can become like it. Our preoccupation of this world will fade. Our lack of compassion for those in need will fade. Our desire for other things will fade as we realize that in You we have all we need. Thank You, Lord, for providing this plant for Jonah. But we're also thank You, Lord, for providing the Lord Jesus for us. He is our greatest shelter. He is our greatest medicine. And Lord, You show Your compassion to us every time we read Your word and learn more about You and our Savior. And so, Lord, I pray that today we will respond to Him so that our heart might reflect your heart. For it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things.